take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Bellville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Bellville.
Ah, good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where March is turning into spring. We're in the last few days of standard time. Daylight savings time comes up this weekend, so make sure you're ready for that. Joining us in studio today, we've got Wiz Calico hanging out on the mic.
Aloha, everyone.
How are you doing?
Doing quite well, man. We had a pretty fun time this weekend at Portland Normal's first inaugural meeting, didn't we?
We sure did. And you can catch the video of that at the Portland Normal YouTube page. That's up available for you. And Calico's hanging out here in the studio, and we'll be talking to him a little bit more in hour two as well. Speaking of that Portland Normal meeting, we've got video from that for you from our good friend Sean McAllister, who was at the meeting and spoke to the need for Oregon and the other legal states out here in the West to get it right. Got to get it right so those folks in Texas can get their legalization. So we'll bring you that at half past today. We'll also have time for a radical rant. And in the rant today, I got to talk about this situation in Washington, D.C. They just passed an emergency law today, a rule at the city council that bans any sort of private pot smoking clubs, right? So basically the only place you can smoke is at your home. You're not going to have any sort of bar or tavern or anything like that. We're going to talk about that in a rant that I'm calling, fine, it's legal. Now get back in the closet. Also on the show today, we've got time for some drug war data mining and, behind the headlines. We're going to skip the data mines today because we've got that long speech from our good friend Sean. But in the behind the headlines today, you may have seen this going around the internet. We brought it up in hour two of yesterday's show. New York Police Department Commissioner Bill Bratton channeling the ghost of Harry J. Anslinger, saying that marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind, attributing 9 murder increase over the first couple of months to marijuana. We'll talk about that behind the headlines. But first, we have got to get to our 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, Responsible Ohio continues chugging along toward its plan for legalization this year. We'll tell you how much money they have raised. We've got a Republican in the Texas legislature who not only wants to decriminalize cannabis, he just wants to treat it like tomatoes. Yes, that's right, folks. A Republican in Texas. We've also got private clubs being banned in Washington, D.C. We'll tell you all about that. Iowa's medical marijuana law, the CBD-only law, may be expanded to allow conditions other than epilepsy and things other than just CBD oil. And we've got news out of Denver, Colorado, where they've got a motion on the number of plants being limited in non-residential settings. There's already a limit in the residential settings. We'll tell you all about that as well. And then, like I said, stay tuned for Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We will also have Wiz Calico here. And anything you've got coming up for Hour 2 that you can think of?
You know, not off the top of my head, but I'm sure as we get into it, I will think of a few things.
All right. So also, we're looking forward to our next Portland Normal meeting. That'll be happening on the 4th Saturday. We will be at the Tony Starlight Room. I believe we'll be there again. I see no reason why we shouldn't, but
I think it worked out just fine. That was a great venue.
And it looks great on video, doesn't it?
Yeah, it actually, we had ourselves a great time. I was super happy with the way things turned out.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, the 420 Radio News is next. Stick around. It's the Russ Bellville Show.
Marijuana Nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Big Daddy thinks.
What's happening? Big Daddy here, and I want you cool cats to come and chill over at my pad, the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be grooving every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015. Investors have raised at least $36 million to fund Responsible Ohio's plan to legalize marijuana and purchase the commercial growing sites promised to investor groups. Responsible Ohio officials have said they expect to spend more than $20 million to get their constitutional amendment on the statewide ballot and passed by a majority of voters in November. The organization has revealed a dozen investors, including basketball all-star Oscar Robertson, former Browns player Frosty Rucker, and fashion designer Nanette Lepore, a Youngstown native. Responsible Ohio estimates the industry would reach $2 billion by the fourth year of operations, with $554 million in annual tax revenue for local governments, marijuana research, and drug treatment by the fourth year of operation. If approved by the Ohio Attorney General and deemed one issue by the Ohio Ballot Board, Responsible Ohio must then collect more than 305,000 signatures of Ohio voters by July 1st to put the issue on the November ballot. Representative David Simpson, a Republican lawmaker in the Texas legislature, wants to decriminalize cannabis Texas style without all the layers of government regulation and red tape. HB 2165 would simply treat cannabis as a crop, similar to tomatoes or coffee. The conservative lawmaker states that cannabis prohibition runs counter to Republican values and it runs counter to Christian beliefs. Quote, "I don't believe that when God made marijuana, he made a mistake that government needs to fix," end quote, said Simpson. In addition to religion, Simpson said the well-intentioned war on drugs has only created a culture of no-knock warrants, stop-and-frisk, and billionaire drug lords, and that existing drug laws are as big a failure as prohibition. Quote, "You would think that our country's history with alcohol prohibition, an era marked by bootlegging, organized crime, government corruption, and a rise in crime in general, would have prevented us from making the same mistake again," end quote, Simpson wrote. Private clubs are now officially banned from allowing patrons to smoke marijuana on their property after the D.C. Council voted Tuesday to clarify pot legalization laws that took effect just 5 days ago. The D.C. Council voted unanimously to classify private clubs as public spaces where it remains illegal to smoke marijuana. The emergency legislation, which takes immediate effect, dashes the hopes of some pot entrepreneurs who sought to host events where patrons could partake and share with others. Any business that violates the law could have its business license revoked. Ahead of the vote, D.C. Councilmember Vincent Orange made a plea to legalization advocates, asking them not to engage in public protests because he believed doing so could jeopardize future efforts to work with Congress on the legalization issue. Iowa's new medical marijuana law would be extensively expanded, allowing use for a range of chronic conditions besides epilepsy under a bill introduced Monday. The bill, sponsored by Senator Joe Bolcom, would also allow production and distribution of the drug. The current law, passed last spring, only allows use of a type of marijuana extract by patients with severe epilepsy. Critics contend that the law is practically useless because it doesn't provide patients with a legal way to obtain the medication. Critics also say people with other health problems should be allowed to use medical marijuana. The bill would allow medical marijuana use by people with a range of health problems, including cancer, multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, AIDS, glaucoma, hepatitis C, Crohn's disease, colitis, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and post-traumatic stress disorder. In order to qualify for the program, patients would need a healthcare practitioner to provide a written diagnosis. The Iowa Department of Public Health would license 4 medical cannabis manufacturers, who each would run 3 dispensaries. The city and county of Denver made a motion to set a limit to the number of marijuana plants being grown in a non-residential zone on Tuesday. The proposed change will allow no more than 36 marijuana plants to be grown in a non-residential area, with the exception of licensed marijuana cultivation facilities, according to Dan Rowland, Denver's representative for marijuana policy. This change will not affect the 12-plant limit already in place for residential dwelling units. The health and safety concerns include unsafe conditions such as overloaded electrical systems, hazardous structural features and blocked egresses, improper use of pesticides, improper waste disposal, and uncontrolled odor mitigation. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
With over 1 billion people in the world, chances are there's somebody out there just like you. There are software engineers, pastry chefs, artists, and people with medical conditions. And what do many of these people have in common? They use marijuana. It's expected that marijuana will be legalized in California. And when that happens, what will be the biggest concern? Safety. That's where we come in. Hi-Def Transit is a discreet shuttle service that also serves as a mobile vapor room. Members can medicate on board while our certified drivers get you to your destination safely so you can enjoy the ride. So hop in, make friends, and ride safe. Hi-Def Transit.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Get your tickets now for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, March 15th and 16th at the Hilton in Eugene, Oregon, powered by MarijuanaPolitics.com. Former presidential candidate and 2-term New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson will deliver the keynote address. Harborside Health Center's Steve D'Angelo will present at the pre-conference VIP reception. You'll also hear from State Senator Floyd Prezansky, New Approach Oregon's Anthony Johnson, Oregon marijuana attorneys Paul Loney and Leland Berger, and Oregon Liquor Control Commission's Director of Marijuana Programs, Tom Burns. Get your tickets at early bird pricing by acting now. Learn more at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at ommbc.com. This conference will provide you with a head start for success in the expanding Oregon marijuana industry. Get your tickets today at ommbc.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 15 after the hour, and today in Behind the Headlines, we're taking a look at an increase in homicides in New York City. There were 9 more homicides in the first 2 months of this year than there were during the same time period last year. An increase of 17%. 9 more homicides in a, well, 60-day, 59-day period, right? 28 days for February. And the reason for this, of course, I mean, it, need we even mention that it's marijuana. That's right. Marijuana is the cause of these increase in homicides, at least if you believe the New York police chief, the commissioner Bratton, Bill Bratton, blames it on pot. Let me give you some of the quotes that Bratton said. He calls it a seemingly innocent drug that is being legalized all across the country. And quote, in this city, people are killing each other over marijuana, more so than anything we had to deal with in the 80s and 90s with heroin and cocaine. In some instances, it's a causal factor, but it's an influence in almost everything that we do here. End quote. Now, if the phrase, in some instances, it's a causal factor, didn't raise a flag for you, let me explain. If in some instances it was a causal factor, then in most instances it wasn't. Right? They're just finding weed and assuming, well, there's weed. See, violence, weed and violence. But if you go a little further down the list here, and it comes to, this was from the ABC 7 in New York, the Eyewitness News, right? And what they brought up is the fact, oh, here's another quote. We just see marijuana everywhere when we make these arrests, when we get these guns off the streets, end quote. And they're trying to place this, they're saying it's not, doesn't have anything to do with turf battles. The chief of detectives, Robert Boyce, said, quote, these are not turf battles. These are ripoffs of marijuana dealers' robberies. We lost a police officer, Detective Pete Figowski, a couple years ago. He was responding to a marijuana ripoff. Well, goodness, I wonder what we could do to end a spate of marijuana ripoffs. You know, something we could do to alleviate a situation where people are buying and selling marijuana from complete strangers in an open-air market situation where neither has the opportunity to go to the police should there be a problem with the transaction. Maybe because there's no regulations or licensing on the seller to make sure that he's not trying to hand over a short bag or a bag of oregano or some synthetic weed crap. See, the problem, Commissioner Bratton, has to do with the prohibition, not the marijuana. The fact that you're finding marijuana in these places tells you one thing. Marijuana is popular. People like it. Even criminals smoke marijuana. Can you believe that? Marijuana is a popular drug. This correlation causation and this thing about marijuana ripoffs is just making our point for us that we need regulated markets. You're not hearing about these marijuana ripoffs going on in Portland or Denver or Seattle. You're hearing about them. You're not hearing about them in LA and in San Francisco. You're hearing about them in New York precisely because prohibition has made the price of that product up to $500 an ounce and left people with no legal way to get it, no legal protection for the consumers and the sellers involved in a marketplace that's not going away. I'm telling you, though, one nice thing about this story is it gets to be one of those moments we can point back to when marijuana prohibition is jumping the shark. This has already come up, you know, with other commenters out there on the internet that have been noting that this is a correlational situation. We are not talking about a causal relationship. Now, he does say that there are, in some instances, there's a causal link. But Gabriel Saya of Drug Policy Alliance said, it appears that finding marijuana on the scene of a violent crime is enough for Bratton to assert a casual or causal link. Using that rationale, we can make other causal links to violence. For instance, if police find a cell phone at the scene of a violent crime, then certainly the cell phone must cause that crime. It's time to end this, and New York is going in the right direction. They've got decriminalization in the city. Bloomberg issued an executive order to eliminate jail time for low-level possession. Legal medical marijuana in some very limited extent now exists in New York State. And the buy and bust tactics have been stopped by the police officers. And yet, Mayor de Blasio has seen more arrests during his first year in office than under Bloomberg.
We don't have any dope.
And what did I just smoke?
I'll tell you what we're not going to smoke. We're not going to smoke this blunt.
Yeah. I think that would be bad news.
This got left behind by Sean, and I puffed it early in the morning before eating anything.
Yeah.
Got dizzy and a little dry heavy.
That dude rolls hard.
Damn. Can't do the blunts. I'm sorry.
Keep it real down there.
I'm Pacific Northwest. We're all about the joints. About the joints. No blunts. Be back in a minute.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did. Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420radio to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby! 420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
And now, DFW Normal Executive Director Sean McAllister at the Portland Normal meeting. Thanks to DFW Normal and Sean McAllister for being a part of our meeting. It's very inspiring.
Texas has balls. Thanks. I wasn't expecting to hear that in my intro. How's everybody doing today? Yeah, make some noise. Let's get some energy. In Texas, we still lock people in cages for possessing any amount of marijuana. One of my favorite things in Texas, we actually still, in all of our laws, we spell marijuana with an H, which is extremely ignorant, as many of you know. And the thing about Texas is, nobody was really out doing this. Nobody was really coming out to this line and saying, look, hey, there's this line right here. Why is this stupid line right here? There was a lot of great marijuana law reform groups already back when Andrea and I got involved with DFW Normal back in 2011. But our chapter had less than 100 members at the time. And one of the things that we realized was that it just needed a little bit of organization, needed a little bit of leadership, and needed somebody that was going to be that forward momentum, basically on a daily basis, as you guys have here with Russ Belleville, your forward momentum. And one of the things that we realized was that there was this group of people who had their heart in the right place and they were passionate, but they weren't actually getting a whole lot accomplished. And that was really frustrating to me because back in 2011, we show up to our first DFW Normal meeting and we're expecting to see something more like this. And we see about a dozen people at a park like playing hacky sack and stuff. I'm like, Texas deserves so much better than this, right? Every state deserves to have this reform group that is professional, that is really going to play the game and engage with these politicians. And so we showed up to our first normal meeting, got to know some people, and found out that not only did they have a solid core group of members, but they were open to new ideas and new leadership. And within about 6 months, they actually invited me to be the director of DFW Normal. And since 2011, our group has gone from 100 members to 1,200 members, making us the largest normal chapter in the country. And one of the main driving reasons behind that is this idea of creating this inclusive group, this group that we represent all of you, no matter what it is your reason for reform is, whether you're a medical patient or, you know, a hemp farmer, as many of our farmers in Texas, as you can imagine, would love to be growing hemp. You know, we've got vacant fields just not being used anywhere. And we kind of decided that with DFW Normal, we wanted to grow this into something that was not your typical marijuana activism group. We didn't want it to look like a bunch of hippies, no offense, a bunch of hippies coming out because the good old boys club that makes laws in Texas doesn't like that. See, here in Portland, you guys have the right to referendum, right? Yeah, so in Texas, we don't have the right to referendum, which a lot of Texans, they don't even understand that. You know, a lot of Texans, they've got this big puffed out chest attitude about Texas, don't mess with Texas, you know, we're big and bad, big and bold, but they have no idea that we can't actually influence legislation in the state of Texas. We have to move any bill past the extremely conservative Texas legislature, which, as you guys can imagine, they're not really used to budging on this topic. They like to do this with regard to marijuana every session.
No.
And that's not good enough. You know, Texas is huge. Texas has so many medical patients, so many people who could be contributing to the industry, so many people who are already engaging with the culture, as you can imagine, you know, sharing a border with Mexico. Texas has always had marijuana. I grew up knowing that marijuana was very readily available for me, and I didn't try it until I was 17 because I was inundated with this reefer madness. You know, I can remember having a DARE officer come into our, you know, fourth grade and putting a 40-pound bulletproof vest on me. And I do this. And he uses that as this leverage to explain to me how drugs are bad, okay? Has anybody ever had something like that? And it always just kind of set wrong with me that once I kind of found out the truth about marijuana, that there were still people out there that were talking about it that way, that were teaching children, especially, lies, just flat-out lies. How many parents are in here right now? Anybody parent? Yeah, okay, good. Me too. I'm a parent. So how many people would like your children to not be lied to in school? Yeah, that seems like a pretty fundamental, a basic type of thing that you would expect. And so with our group here at DFW Normal, as has been mentioned, we like to throw these events where we get as many people together to come and publicly talk about this, because in Texas, as I said, nobody knows who's cool. Nobody knows, is this neighbor okay or is this neighbor okay? We have no idea, because there's not really this place to go and gather, to get to know each other and socialize and consume the substance safely and legally, right? And so we do it everywhere. We just go and do it everywhere and hope we don't get caught by the police officers. And depending on where you go, you know, if you go to some of these small towns in between the major metroplexes here in Texas, or in Texas, you definitely don't want to get pulled over with marijuana in your car, right? Because they're just looking for somebody like you. They're just looking for somebody to come and grab you and bust you. And that's part of this culture, this police state culture that Texas has really embraced, where it's not really about serving and protecting so much as it is finding an infraction that you're guilty of, since I bothered to pull you over and now I'm on the clock with you. And with our group, one of the things that we noticed was right off the bat that because this is not a place where, Texas is not a place where you can go and consume this anywhere, a lot of our members, they expect to be able to come to our events and break the law. And so they're coming to our venue, you know, like a venue just like this. I would literally have to tell my members to not smoke in here. That's why I laughed at some of these signs in here, because while we've never had to do that before in Dallas-Fort Worth, it's one of those things that we're getting so big now. We're having 100 people show up to every single meeting that we have to let these people know that it's really not okay yet. And that to me, that's a testament of how strong the culture is in Texas and how far we've grown, because nobody had any idea that there was even a normal in Dallas-Fort Worth forever. And now it's a household name. It's a name that is making other people understand that there are other normal chapters in the state of Texas beyond Dallas-Fort Worth. And one of the things that we're really, really good at in Texas is getting so many people together to rally publicly for this stuff. Our Global Marijuana March last year had 4,000 people at it, 4,000. That was a record in Texas, and no media reported on it. You know why? Because they were down the street at Mayfest reporting on all the drunks. Even though 4,000 people were marching right past this party, even though 4,000 people went to the historic Tarrant County Courthouse in Cowtown in Fort Worth, and even though almost 4,000 people openly consumed marijuana in violation of the law in the street and on the courthouse, zero arrests were made. Why is that? Why is it that if 4,000 of us get together, it's okay? But if it's just me and my girlfriend driving down the street, they're looking for us. Why is that? And it was one of those things that we just couldn't really wrap our heads around it, the leadership in our organization. We couldn't understand why we could go and have a live music concert, a fundraiser, anything, and have all these people show up, and they're breaking the law at these venues, and the venues are, you know, letting it happen because they've got 200 people buying food and drinks. What do they care? They don't give a damn. Whatever. Go out on the patio, smokers. And what our group has been able to do is turn Dallas-Fort Worth into this very marijuana-friendly region within this state of Texas that is so very red and dangerous. You know, you got to get real deep into Texas before you find a good spot to smoke weed at, right? You understand that? So when you're, if you're coming to Texas, I recommend stopping in Austin or Dallas or maybe Houston, but if not, then keep going. And one of the things that we've always been doing here at Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, something that I've always done at Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, and I like to lead by example, is I listen to Russ every single day. And I've listened to Russ every single day since 2011 or even 2012. And every single event, we talk about Russ and what Russ is doing. And because we feel like there's not really that person, at least in Texas, who can speak the way that Russ can, you know, who can deliver and just communicate to so many different groups of people the way that somebody who is media trained like Russ Belville can. Would you agree? Yeah. Everybody awake? And so I one of the things that I learned early on in my activism career was that as the director of this chapter, I was expected to be a public speaker. How many people in here suffer from anxiety? Raise your hand. Me, really, really badly. And Russ, just in listening to his show, taught me how to become a better public speaker about marijuana, because sometimes what you need to do is just hear somebody that's smarter than you say it and string it all together a little bit for you to find your own voice. And by Russ being able to put out this show on this regular basis and provide this free information where somebody like me can get to it, it's allowed me to grow our organization, Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, way beyond what the expectation could have ever been without that information. And one of the things that I'm just so proud of and jealous of is the fact that you guys have this guy as your executive director. Wow, I am jealous of that. I would step down for Russ Belville in my organization because this is a man with vision. This is a man who understands how the game is played both politically and grassroots, because it can't be one and it can't be the other. A lot of normal chapters, they're notorious for being either very grassroots or very political and not really in the middle. You know, they don't do a good job of representing the entire spectrum of the people that comprise their membership. And DFW Normal, and I think what Russ's goal with Portland Normal is to create this movement that is so very inclusive that you can't help but want to be a part of it, right? You can't help but want to put in some of your time or creativity into helping to make your state a better place. That's why you're all here, right? You want to make Oregon a better state for everybody? See, I don't believe that any of you are here because you need help breaking the law or help smoking marijuana or any of that stuff. And the same can be said for our DFW normal meetings. I don't believe people show up to change the law because they want to be able to just go and smoke wherever we go, although that does tend to happen. And I admit that I'm probably the reason for that because I smoke everywhere I go. And that's just the way that I am. I take that back. Maybe not on a plane. Maybe I wouldn't smoke on a plane. But I'll tell you this, anywhere there's an opportunity, you know, we did at the airport. And the problem with groups in Normal, I think, is they find this little niche of something that they do right. They're like, all right, I'm good at throwing this type of event. And that's all that they do ever. And guess what it does to all the other people that surround that group? It alienates them because they get bored. They get tired of the same old, same old, same old. And so with DFW Normal, one of the things that I hope that Russ is able to do with Portland Normal is to create these types of events that maybe every month you're doing something slightly different. And so that way you're always attracting a different type of person, because it's maybe not a marijuana event. Like he said in the beginning, I loved that this is not about marijuana specifically right off the bat. And by setting that expectation that this is not, we're not coming together to get high together, although if you want to, I'll be available afterwards. But this is more about getting together to find out how we can do something to empower not only this group, but the people who aren't here, right? The people who maybe are afraid or are unwilling or just unsure of how they can find their place in marijuana activism. And so I think that with DFW Normal, with Portland Normal, one of the things that I would really like to see is more of this sharing of leadership. You know, we really, really often are almost every year, right, since I've met you, have flown Russ to Texas to speak to our group. And that's because Texans, they need to hear this outside perspective. They need to hear the perspective of somebody who lives where it's legal. You know, that gives Texans hope, because out here, I mean, it's bad, guys. It's bad. You know, any amount of concentrate is actually a felony in Texas. So, you know, if you're grinding up your herb like a lot of us like to do, and a police officer finds your grinder and it's got that keef in it, you're a hash manufacturer potentially, and it's up to you and your lawyer to prove that you're not one. Is that insane? That's absolutely insane. And so in Texas, with the number of people that consume marijuana, with the number of people that are arrested for marijuana, we knew that we had to be the type of organization that was going to be able to go to the Capitol and have a face-to-face conversation with representatives and be taken seriously. We needed to get our shit together, basically, and not look like this hippie movement, this bunch of stoners who came to the Capitol to talk about marijuana. And one of the things that I'm really, really proud of with the Texas movement is recently, some of you may have heard about this, we actually had a citizen lobby day in Austin at the Capitol. And we had 300 people from all over the state of Texas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, everywhere, converged on the Capitol for an entire day to have 1,000 conversations about marijuana with representatives, with the state troopers that provide security at the Capitol, and with the tourists who are just walking around with a Texas shirt saying, "What the hell is all this marijuana leaf about?" And so 300 people that were in the Capitol to talk to their lawmakers about changing the law. That is huge. That's what I expect out of Portland Normal. I want you guys to set that bar so very high for the Pacific Northwest that people are struggling to catch up with you, saying, what is it that you guys are doing so much better, so much differently, the way that people say about DFW Normal? Well, one of the things is you got to have an awesome leader to start with, and you have that. Great job, guys. But the second thing is you got to be willing to support that leader. You can't just let that leader be the one that does everything for you and assigns you your marching orders. Because somebody like Russ, somebody like me, we're busy from noon, from morning to night with marijuana every single day. And so what we are looking for is those people who are willing to stand up, step up, and say, look, I know you're busy. I can do this, and I'm going to start doing that now. Is that cool? And that is the best way to get somebody like his attention or my attention. Because if you're walking up saying, what can I do to help? Oh, my God. Where do I even start? You know, do I need to have an interview with you? And so what I want for every one of you to be thinking about is, what is it that makes me unique in my marijuana activism? What particular angle do I bring? What skills or what emotional story can I tell when I'm engaging with people? What can I do to further this discussion beyond just showing up to a Portland Normal event and becoming a member? Because while that's great, that's just the beginning. That's just to get you a card-carrying membership so you know not to forget about your commitment to marijuana law reform, right? Yeah. Right? Man, you guys, I think we need a smoke break, right? Everybody's starting to run low on energy. So finally, I think one of the most important points that I would really like to make today is how important it is for states like Oregon to get it right for Texas. Because when I'm talking to these lawmakers, guess what they're telling me? Yeah, at least in Texas, we don't want to be like California. You know what somebody told me 2 weeks ago? We don't want to be like Colorado. A lawmaker told me we don't want to be like Colorado when they've got a tax surplus right now, when they are not locking people, hundreds of thousands of their people away every year. A lawmaker told me that we don't want to be like Colorado. So do you know what that tells me? That they already have the wrong impression of legalization. And it's up to places like you guys right here to completely change the game, to say, all right, yes, it's been this way before. Yes, it's like this over here. Yes, it's like this over here. But here, we're going to set a new standard. We're going to set the standard that the rest of the country can be proud of and that the rest of the country can follow. And so if we're able to say, look, in Oregon, they were able to not only legalize it, but they were able to modify their law in a positive fashion, in a timely manner, Well, you know, that gives people in Texas a whole lot of hope, because right now the only bills regarding quote unquote medical marijuana in Texas that are even being heard is this CBD only crap. How many people think CBD only is what Texas needs? Say boo.
Boo.
Excuse me. So the CBD only crap, and that's these lawmakers thinking that they're actually making some sort of realistic concession to the cannabis culture, that, oh yeah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you this medical marijuana, which, you know, is total garbage. It's crap. But you want to know what the crazy thing about this law that they're actually thinking about introducing in Texas is? It puts the Texas Department of Public Safety in charge of regulating medical marijuana. What the hell? What the hell does the Texas Department of Public Safety know anything, not only about flowers or medicine or even doing anything in a timely fashion? That's ridiculous. So what this bill looks like to us is one of these appeasement bills. It's a bill that is going to be used to block our ability to reform our medical program later on. And so here in Oregon, where you guys already have such great laws, which, again, I'm so jealous of your laws here, people. Every time I pass by one of your dispensaries, it kind of just makes my heart flutter a little bit, because I know one day we will have that. And whenever I come here, it gives me this energy, this excitement that I get to bring back to Texas, where everybody else is just trying to keep their head down and trying not to avoid police scrutiny. As you guys know, police are visual predators. And so a lot of times in Texas, people are so unwilling to even put a normal sticker on their car because they're just afraid for what that could mean. And so the more that groups like Oregon, Texas, all these different states are able to take the name normal and say, all right, yes, it is about marijuana, but wait, before you jump to a conclusion, wait just a damn minute and let me explain. Because with Portland Normal and DFW Normal, I think we're able to put our best and most professional foot forward to talk to these lawmakers and to talk to the community and the people who are still maybe kind of on the fence about this. Because what we don't need is the wrong representatives out there confusing the subject further, like Kevin Sabet. How many people like Kevin Sabet in this room? Boo! And so that's what I try to do, is I try to be that kind of balance in Texas, where every time there's that crazy Republican who's going to say something about medical marijuana or hemp or anything regarding our culture, it's got to be us who stands up and says, actually, it's this. You need to check yourself. And with your group right here, you have this unique opportunity to start a normal chapter that does something that no other group does. And you can pick and choose your activities based on what all these other normal groups are doing, because you've got this brand new chapter that's got support. It's got financial support. Do you realize how ahead of the game you guys are by the fact that you have Randy and Russ? Oh my gosh, you guys are 5 years ahead of every other normal chapter that's going to start this year. And because of that fact, DFW Normal and the entire Normal organization, I think, has an extremely high expectation of Portland Normal. And I don't think that this is going to be an opportunity where this is the last time that you see DFW and Portland Normal teaming up. I think that this is only the beginning. I think that the more that we're able to get together and share our opinions and our energies and our theories and our strategies with each other, the one be. Because right now, at least in Oregon, you guys all know each other. Everybody is cool here. But in Texas, it's not so much the case. But the more that you guys take your laws and refine them to make better sense for your people and your culture and your politicians and your lawmakers and your police and everybody that is involved with the laws, the more that you guys can drive this in the right direction, the easier it's going to make places like Texas, where we still spell marijuana with an H. We can change the laws to be something sensible. We can stop putting people in cages. We can stop arresting patients. And we can just start saving some tax money and maybe actually make Texas a little bit less redneck and a better state for the entire country. You know, because at the end of the day, the problem is it's not the people still that need to be concerned, convinced about marijuana law reform. It's our lawmakers. It's the lawmakers that are standing in the way. It's this conservative ideal that maybe marijuana is a bad thing still. And the more that we can push forward and say, no, it's not, and this is why, the faster I think we're going to end the federal prohibition of marijuana. Thank you very much.
Sean McAllister, everyone. Thank you, Sean. We'll get Herb back.
Sean McAllister from DFW Normal, flown up here to Portland to give us a little bit of perspective. It's important for we all to recognize that legalization is not the end of the line. There's still plenty of work left to be done to get us from legalization to equalization. And that kind of tells you what our rant's going to be about today. Stay tuned with Fine, It's Legal. Now get back in your closet right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
There are people out there that would never, ever consider doing heroin, and yet they'd try cocaine or crack in a minute. Well, believe it or not, crack is 5 times more addictive than heroin. Say no when someone offers you drugs. Just walk away. If you've got a problem now, remember, there are a lot of people out here who want to help you. Say no to cocaine. Say no to crack. Don't do drugs. Just don't.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Fine! It's legal now! Now get back in your closet. That's the attitude that seems to be coming from the lawmakers in Washington, D.C., who just officially today banned any sort of pot clubs, private pot clubs. As in, I have a private business establishment where I'm not going to let just anybody in. I'm going to card them. I'm going to make sure they're all adults. And we as adults are going to hang out and smoke the marijuana that Washington, D.C. residents legalized by 71%. 70%. Close. It's up there. So this just leads me to believe, where the hell are we supposed to use our marijuana if we're in Washington, D.C.? Can't use it in the hotels because, of course, that's banned by most of the hotels. No smoking. Can't use it in public. Can't use it in the parks. Can't use it on any federal land whatsoever, about 20, 26% of which is Washington, D.C. is federal land. Can't use it in a private club now. So what? We're just supposed to get back in our closets. And this is the attitude, because I see this in another quote that came from one of the councilmen here. Let me see if I can find this quote. I have to bring this up in my news feed here. Talked about this yesterday, but it was this quote from this councilman talking about, I didn't vote to make, I voted to make it so that fewer people would be arrested for marijuana. Here it is. I wanted fewer DC residents going to jail, not necessarily more DC residents being able to consume marijuana. And this is one of the, I would say, unintended consequences that we've gotten out of our campaigns to legalize marijuana. So much of it in Washington, D.C. focused on the racial disparity in marijuana arrests. And so now these people feel like, okay, we've ended that arrest thing, but it leaves out the fact that now that it's a legal product, a legal substance for people to use, they're going to want to use it in social situations with one another. And this is something that is really funny to me, given the past couple of rants I've done over the weeks. Remember when we talked about Richard Nixon and Art Linkletter and that idea that people smoke marijuana to get high, but people drink just to be social? Well, if that's the case, why are we all clamoring for a pot bar? Why is it that we want a pub so badly if all we want to do is get high? If it was just about getting high, we'd take our legal weed back to our house, sit in the closet and smoke it like we always had. No, what legalization means to us is an end of our criminal status, a beginning of our equal status with beer drinkers. And this in juxtaposition with what the DC police chief told the cannabist. D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier stood by District Mayor Muriel Bowser in this legalization fight and said that alcohol is a bigger concern to public safety. Quote, marijuana smokers are not going to attack and kill a cop. They just want to get a bag of chips and relax. Alcohol is a much bigger problem. End quote. Your police chief says that alcohol is a much bigger problem. And yet there are numerous locations in Washington, D.C. where one may sit in public with other members of the public in a place open to the public, many times in a place visible to the public, in an outdoor patio, for example, where this more dangerous drug, no, stay that, most dangerous drug in American society is allowed to be openly consumed. There is no logical reason whatsoever that now marijuana is legal, why we can't at least have some place to use it together. We accept without even blinking the fact that every downtown district in the United States has buildings where the express purpose of those buildings is to serve an intoxicating drug called ethanol. And these buildings have parking lots attached to them for the express purpose of people driving to these buildings for the intoxication they are to receive from alcohol. And then we can trust them. We can just trust them to drive home and designate a driver or call a cab. But with marijuana, this safest drug of the recreational drugs, we have to condone it. We have to condemn it to just being in our homes. We can't possibly have a place where we can gather and use cannabis. Now, this is going to have a severe backlash from the cannabis community. Adam Eidinger, one of the leading advocates out there in Washington, D.C., is already talking about putting together public smokeout protests of this. And of course, the D.C. Council is begging them not to. Oh, please, please don't go out and publicly protest. Why, it might make Congress mad. That'll make it a whole lot tougher for us to get further reforms. Well, yeah, it might. It might, but I'll tell you, this stuff doesn't change until somebody activates for this, until somebody agitates and gets people out of their seats and causes some commotion and causes some heartache and causes some consternation among the people in power that don't want to see this changed. There needs to be in all of the legal jurisdictions, not just Washington, D.C., but in Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, there needs to be a recognition that providing us with vapor bars, vapor lounges, pot clubs, whatever you want to call them, is what they want. It's in their best interest. They don't want to see a whole bunch of public consumption, right? Well, you're going to get a bunch of public consumption, either in the forms of protest, overt protest, or people just deciding, screw it, I'm going to light up here around the corner. Hopefully nobody's looking. You're going to get plenty of that if you don't give people a place to go. You have these concerns about people overdosing on edibles. People might not understand how potent these products are. If they have a place to go to use these products, to be in the company of other people who use these products, to be in a place where public service advertising could reach them on how to properly use these products, we would see a lot fewer of those overdoses. We see these concerns about making sure that we undercut the black market, make sure that the black market is not a problem. If you don't give people a place to go smoke weed, they're going to find a place to go smoke weed. And where there are stoners gathered, there will be someone who will sell them weed. And they will undercut. And people will think it's worth it. Not only, hey, you know, bought a bag, not only is it cheaper than the dispensary, but we can hang out in this guy's place and smoke it. I can imagine very soon people kind of just opening up their homes, because again, this prohibition the DC council passed only applies to private businesses. It doesn't apply to residences. So if you want some of those Tony or Washington DC neighborhoods to have a whole lot of foot traffic of some pot smelling people going back and forth to hang out at the cool kid's loft, then sure, don't give people a public place to smoke pot. Now I can tell you, if the public place to smoke pot has video games and a bar and some food that I can get to eat and other people to hang out with, I'd much rather go there than some kid's loft in Georgetown. But if that's the only choice, that's where I'm going to end up. You need to understand, if you are a politician in any of these places, that we, the marijuana using community, don't see this legalization as some sort of favor you've done for us. Aw, gee, thanks for not oppressing us anymore. No, we see this as just the beginning of establishing and reestablishing the rights that we have as Americans that date back to prior to the founding of this country. We look at this as taking back our hemp heritage that dates back to 1611. Our medical marijuana heritage that dates back to the 1850s. Our recreational marijuana heritage that dates back to the early 1900s. We're just re-legalizing marijuana. You haven't done us any favors, and we don't feel any sort of need to kowtow to your need to make nice with Congress or to play nice with others. We see this as a beginning of the reestablishment of our rights. And we're a patient people. We've stood by for a long time now. We don't need everything all at once, but we need to know that that's the direction we're going, that we are going toward a direction where, like the campaign slogan said and people voted for, that marijuana is treated like alcohol. No more, no less. Don't expect special privileges. Just give us the same damn respect you give anybody who's drinking wine, shooting whiskey, or down in a cold beer. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We're hanging out with Wiz Khalifa in the studio. Also got some other great stories to bring to you, including me and the drug czar actually agree on something. Oh my God. Stay tuned for that. Also, The Onion has gotten a hold of the stoned bunny phenomenon. It's going to be a good one. For Wiz Khalifa, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.